So that would keep people alive. So we still go by that theory right now when we're working at septic tanks or whatever we're doing. So I got another thing that was in the paper was autism symptoms reduced 50% in 2 years after a fecal transplant. That's when they transplant crap from one person to another. And you might think this is funny, but it's not. I'm quite serious about this. Because around 2000, the year 2000, there was about 1 in 150 kids were diagnosed with autism. And then about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it's now 1 in 50. And they say it's going to be like, pretty soon it'll be like 1 in 5 if we keep going the route we're going. So what they did at the start of the study, 83% of the participants were rated as severe on the autism spectrum. At the end of the study, only 17% were severe, 39% were mild or moderate, and 44% were below the cutoff rate for autism. So you laugh about this, but they transplant that stuff into people that don't have the right bacteria or something in there, and it actually helps. So the other thing, another thing that was interesting article too, was soft drinks may kill you earlier. And I know I keep on bugging everybody that drinks soft drinks all the time. I think we're somewhere at an average of about 160 liters a person a year or something like that. And I know somebody has to drink a lot more because I hardly drink any. So the Harvard study team gathered the data from over 100,000 men and women over the course of 30 years. Researchers concluded men who drank at least 2 pops a day had a 29% higher risk of death. And women who drank at least 2 pops a day had a 63% higher risk of death. So what I'm trying to say to you, if ladies, if your husband is trying to get you to drink 2 pops every day, that's maybe not a good sign. So maybe you're better off to dump it out or throw it in his face or something like that. And I'm trying to see here. The reason that the women were twice as likely to die from too many pops was the fact they're linked more to the increase of death from both breast cancer and colon cancer in women than it was men. So I'm still trying to tell you, we seen that video here one time where they're spraying pop all over the lawn. That's a good thing to do with it. So I'm not sure, but it won't kill you. Another really interesting thing I come across in the paper was a vegan crime. I always talk about these vegans or vegetarians or whatever you want to call them. I tell you how the one doctor was saying he'd pay $1,000 for every vegetarian that you brought to him that lived to be 100 years or older. And he said he'd never lose the $1,000. He's never lost it yet. He says he never will. And so it was interesting. In Belgium, there's a law that's been there for 58 years. And it says, a group of Belgian doctors say that parents who submit their young kids to a vegan diet should be charged with a crime under the 58-year-old law. The Royal Academy of Medicine of Belgium said last month that a vegan diet is unsustainable for the unborn children, teenagers, pregnant and lactating women. It is said that this would create serious vitamin and mineral deficiencies, including iron, vitamin B12, calcium, and it could lead to irreversible growth delays. It is estimated that 3% of the Belgian children are on the vegan diet. The study came after the death, several deaths in the country, including one when a seven-month-old Belgian baby died after the parents fed the child milk made from oats, buckwheat, rice, and quinoa, whatever that is. And you can see I drink a lot of that stuff, right? The baby weighed 9.5 pounds. At the time of death, it was dehydrated and malnourished. The parents were given a six-month jail sentence for doing that. So that's kind of interesting. Anybody who lives in or going to move to Belgium or something, you want to be watch what you feed your kids. The thing I want to talk about today was good fats and bad fats. I was working at a place yesterday, and the lady was saying how bad things were. This one person went to Tim Hortons and always get a triple cream in their coffee, and thought it was so bad. I looked at her and I said, that's probably the only good thing she did all day. And until around the 1970s, we consumed more than 55 grams of animal fats, such as lard, butter, cream, every day. Today, we consume less than 5 grams because of what they say is supposed to be good for us. Now, there is more heart disease, cancer, and type 2 diabetes than ever before. So this lady, Nina Teichholz, she wrote the book there, The Big Fat Surprise, and she did 9 years of research on it. So she started off by saying sweet fizzy drinks or pop versus fermented refreshments, margarine versus butter, sweetened processed breakfast cereal versus fermented grain breakfast, hydrogenated or low fat versus natural and rich food. And she says, and the results are, we are more obese, less well, more anxious, and more frightened than ever before. So it obviously wasn't working too good. Two factors brought this on. One was the arrival of cheap vegetable-based industrial cooking oils, and the other one was the inaccurate association of animal fats with poor health. Now, I told you before, a month or so ago, that the cheap vegetable oils didn't come for human consumption. It was around the 1900s where it came in, because the people that made butter, or not butter, soap, they used fish blubber, lard, all that stuff there to make soap, and they wanted to look for a cheap alternative. And then they got into the vegetable oils, and they could get that like at 1/4 of the price, and they were making lots of money. So then these guys got this brilliant brainwave saying, if we fed this to the people, we could make a whole lot of more money. So then us poor suckers, we got that the vegetable oils and stuff put on us. And then this one turkey, this can all be attributed to pretty well one man, and that's Ansel Benjamin Keyes, and he was the biologist at the University of Minnesota. He set out to prove that saturated fats was the leading cause of heart disease. So what he did was he picked several countries to match his hypothesis on this thing, and that consumed a low-fat diet and saturated fats and were less likely to die of heart disease. So he got this endorsed by the American Heart Association, and around that time, for doing this, he was raised to celebrity status and appeared on the cover of Time magazine. So, and I also wrote in there that he probably had some heavy payoffs from the pharmaceutical industry, because that's who was making all the money. And So in all these studies, they never did anything like check the Inuits or the Eskimos, who pretty well, I would say, half or three quarters of the year lived only off blubber or animal fats. And they never studied them or anything. But most of them have no heart problems. And I also told you about this Russian doctor who had this severely autistic child, and she took a special course on human nutrition, and she figured out that if she could get the natural animal fats back into this child's diet, that she could overcome all those problems. And he was at 2.5 years old. He was rated as severely autistic. And when she did all these things, he's now an adult, and he's leading a fully normal life with no medications at all. So what the doctor said was totally impossible was possible. And she said through all natural things. So she's always on a someplace trying to teach doctors or people about how to eat properly and naturally. So I just thought I wanted to enlighten you with that. And I did come across an interesting story just to finish off. It said a farmer was describing his lifestyle to a touring group of city folks. And then he said, one of the benefits of this profession, he explained, is that we have a built-in weather predictions. What do you mean? Asked one of the inquisitive visitors. He says, oh, when the cows are standing, the farmer explained, it means that there's no rain is likely for almost 24 hours. And then when they're lying down, it means it's going to rain. And then one of them said, on our bus trip, I saw half the herd was standing at one place and the other half was laying down. What does that mean? The farmer flashed a smile and answered, he said, that means that half of them are lying. So anyways, God bless you and stay healthy.
Is reaching out and trying to make a difference in Omimi, where he's from. So anyways, it's wonderful. So, and we're behind him 100%. So you know what, every one of us has got a gift and every one of us has got a ministry, and I just think it's neat. So anyways, where's my wife? We got something we just wanted to share today. Not us, like, but I was talking this week, and I don't know, Robin, are you there? Do you want to come up? We're just going to take about 5 or 10 minutes, and she was talking to me on the phone, and I thought this was such an amazing thing, because Robin's given her heart to the Lord. She's busy, her life's busy, and she's had a lot of stuff good and bad in her life. And anyway, she had an operation anyways. How many weeks ago?
June 1st.
Everything
went sideways May 31st.
She ended up dying, and
sent back, John.
Yeah. Anyways, She just went to heaven when she died, and pretty neat, eh? So I just wanted her to just share a little bit about what she was telling me on the phone. I just thought it was so neat.
Okay, I'm going to give you the skinny on what happened to me. I'm a small C Christian. I was raised in church. I believe in God, but I'm a woman of science and the practical world. This is the world I live in, and everything's changed. I got Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. So I go in every year or so for a cancer check, just to make sure I'm good. Most of y'all know who I am. I've been coming to this church for a while on and off, usually when I'm in crisis or things are going sideways.
That's what I love about her.
Yeah, I'm dead honest, and that's cranked right up now because I don't give a damn. Anyway, I go in for my annual down the hatch and up the butt with the camera to make sure I haven't got cancer, because I like to make sure, because you can catch it early and you can be cured. And I believe in God, and I believe in the Bible, and I always have, and I know Jesus was real. But I never bought into the coming to life and going to heaven and all that. I thought it was all metaphorical. It was all written in a time where people couldn't read or write, in a brutal time where there was no law like the way we understand it. So I thought the Bible was written by wise men and women to be able to translate it to the people, the simple people that could understand it. And I got that. The commandments were pretty straightforward. Thou shalt not covet your wife, your neighbor's wife. Don't be screwing around on your husband. Come on now. Don't be cheating on your lady. That's no way to raise your family. That's what it means today. You know what I mean. It's a simple time, simple instructions. I go in for my colonoscopy. They got my chart mixed up with somebody else. So I'm thinking, I go in there. It's not my regular gastrologist. I got some pup from the city. He looks younger than Gracie. I need her hair because we're connected from a long time ago and have been for a long time. I coached that kid, and she championed on me. That's why she's up here, because I'm my little rock. I go in. I got this puppy. I go in for it, and this ain't my first rodeo. I get this procedure done. I come out of it. I don't feel well, but you never do. I go home, and I start bleeding to death. I'm laying in my bed, and I'm thinking, God, I don't feel good. This is worse than normal. Usually you let it out, not build it up. I'm getting bloated and bloated. I'm feeling shaky and woozy. I call Roman and Mark. I said, God, you guys got to come back now. They just get out the Long Lake from my house in town. They come back, and now I'm a mess. I'm shaking, and I'm not feeling good. I say, Roman walks in the door, turns to the kid. I said, call the ambulance. They get there. I fight with them while I can't breathe. I just can't breathe. I can't breathe. And I'm feeling all bloated, and I'm in a lot of pain up here. It's like hard labor, but you can't breathe, and there's no break from my belly button up to my neck. And I know something's wrong. This kid screwed it up. We're taking you to Bancroft. Oh, what the hell you are. I'll die, you take me to Bancroft. Get me to Peterborough now. I had a minor procedure. They screwed it up. Something's wrong. Can't breathe. Roman turns around and goes, this woman's got a pain threshold. I've never seen anything like this. She did 9.5-pound baby 3 ladies later. She didn't wail like that. Get her to Peterborough. Do it now or I'm going to start swinging. Boom. One picks me up with this elbow. One picks me up. I'm all cuddled up. They get me in the ambulance. Start rigging me up. Get to the hospital. I know Mark's here. I know Roman's standing in front of me. He'd be the hubby. And there's a flurry of activity. Things are kind of blurry. I'm sort of coming in and out of focus. I'm looking up at Roman. The fairies fly in. 9 or 10 of them. They come flying in, and they're all buzzing around these people up here. And I know the kid's here, but everybody else is blurry. One of them, they're little, and sits in the part of Roman's hair. And it's buzzing around. It's got these wee little hummingbird wings on it, clear like a dragonfly. It's this big. It's covered in some kind of clothing, not feathers, not fur, not clothes, something else. And its little hands or feet are naked, and it's trying to tell me something. It's wiggling its little finger at me, and it's trying to tell me, and I start looking at the other ones, getting mad at me now. And it's trying to explain something to me, and I can't understand it, and I'm in so much pain. And it's even making Roman's hair move around. It's so real. And it looked like Tina Kent Wilson. I don't know if you know her. She's Native. She's really beautiful. She's got big brown eyes. And the other ones were like the colors of the forest, dark and little and zooming around. And I'm looking at this thing, and the pain's bad. I look down. I go to look up. They're all gone. flurry of activity, I'm out. I wake up, I'm in the MRI. They're trying to straighten me up. I said, I'll help you, but I can't breathe. Boom, they hit me with some kind of needle, I'm out. I wake up, I hear a junkyard dog bark. Boom, I'm out. But there's all this stuff going on. There's machines and people, but it's all blurry. And I wake up, and I'm not in my body anymore. I'm in this light, and it's not bright, and it doesn't hurt your eyes, and it's not like the sun. It's soft, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. There's no tunnel. It's everywhere, and you're kind of drifting in this stuff, and it's not water. It's not air. I can't describe it. It's like an energy. And this light is so soft, and there's all these tiny little wisps way off in the distance, and it's eternal. It comes in and out of you. It comes out of you. It's hard to describe, but I'm doing my best. So I've given a lot of thought, and I'm drifting in this, and it feels like liquid love. It feels like that time you hold that baby for the first time, and you're looking at that baby, and you feel an intense love that's indescribable, and it surrounds you. And there's no thought, there's no time, there's no tomorrow, there's no past, there's no bills, there's no work, there's nobody around you. You're just in this, and you know that state. You've all had children, or you're gonna, but everybody feels that at some point, or like that first time you fall so head over heels in love. And you're holding that person you love so much that loves you back, and then you're filled with you got this aura around you of peace and love and warmth. Take that and multiply it by 10,000. It's to the power of 10,000. And it's so much of it, and it's so everywhere, you floated. And I thought, oh, God is bringing me home. It's real. This isn't bull. This is real. Just like those little fairies were real. Nobody could see them. I could see them. And that's when I thought, oh, am I in trouble? I'm having hallucinations. This is pre-drugs. I'm just sick. I'm bleeding. I'm inside bad. All of it. Transfusions. Flatline 7 minutes. Operations that lasted all night and all morning. They had to cut me open and get all my spleen out. It was drug all over me. And I'm little and I'm skinny, so it wasn't too hard for the doctor. So it flatlined out for 7 minutes and all this other crap. And in that 7 minutes, time stood still. There is no time. There is no tomorrow or yesterday. It's just now. And it's an energy that you feel, and it feels so good. And it's so warm. I wake up, and it ends. I wake up, and I don't remember this part, but my eyelashes cracked. Roland was there with Mark. I said, am I alive? He said, yes, we're right here, Robin. Are you sure? And he said, I'm sure. I don't remember that. What I do remember is waking up and hearing the surgeon outside the curtain, talking to another doctor, male, and another couple of nurses, and he was talking about all this medical stuff. So I'm supposed to stay there because I got no immune system now for 14 to 18 days, day 7. Get these things out of me, I'm going home. I'm never going to heal in here. I'm on the right side of the grass. I know where I'm going when I die. I got my ticket because I'm a sinner. I can be a bitch. I can be vindictive. I can be jealous. I have anger issues. I've had a miserable excuse of a childhood, and I've done my best to overcome it, but I got a good side. I got a good side. I love children. I'm good to them. I love my church family. I have everybody looking after me, because if I was back in the city, for sale sign would be on the front door. Shopping would be closed at the end of the month. I'd be looking at shitty apartments and ghettos, and that's the way it is. But I don't live in the city anymore. I've lived here for 21 years. I thought, how am I going to make payroll? How am I going to make payroll? I got $12,000 worth of boats sitting in there half done. I can't get paid till they're finished. They can't get finished. I can't even stand up hardly. The Tuckers, the Trotters, everybody's got my money's problem solved until I get back on my feet 100%. My business, Penny, Greg sent me down. He said, you're going nowhere. Business is going nowhere. It's all on hold. We've taken care of your customers. They'll all be back when you're ready. The community. Georgina McGinn shows up, gets me dressed, cleans my house, pays my taxes. Grace. My house has never been so clean. And I'm clean. I am a fastidious. You know me, the house with the flowers. I am a fastidious as a cat. Well, it is right clean now because I have to. I need a germ-free environment right now. So, Grace, if I had to tell you every kind thing that these people have done for me, we'd be sitting here till next Sunday. So it seems all this stress and all this worry, but I cannot understand what it means. I don't know why I got sent up and then sent back down because I wasn't happy about waking up in the hospital. I'll be straight up with you. I liked it up there. I did. I didn't want to come back. Why? It's heaven is heaven. The Bible describes it, but nobody can describe. You got to go. And maybe there's a hell too. I don't know. But I wasn't anywhere near it. This was eternal. It was forever. So I'm baffled. I'm pissed off beyond belief that this happened to me in the first place. At prime time, I make half of my income in April, May, June. You know, half of my annual income, April, May, June. Here I am laid up in money May and juicy June. I am so annoyed. I wonder why this happened to me when it's a half in a billion chance. One in half a billion chance that this could possibly happen. And that I survived it. They all say, are you ever lucky? Even the surgeon. When the surgeon says, well, you made it. We're surprised and you're really lucky. And I thought, lucky? What's so lucky about going up there and then end up back down here with all these problems? You calling that luck? You calling that luck? I'm laid here like a prized deer been gutted and hung from the ceiling. Come on. You know, I'm not a prize buck. I'm Robin Mizzick the seamstress. Why are you doing this to me? Why do they do this to me? Why does this happen? What are those fairies trying to tell me? So I called Julia. She's the most spiritual person I know personally. I can spill my guts too. I said, come here and make sense of this to me. Talk to John. I'm coming to church on Sunday. I haven't been for a while. Somebody's got to make sense of this to me because it doesn't make sense. I've had a tough go of it. I've done my best. I've lived my life as positively as possible. And it's just, I don't know why I got to go and then got thrown back down here. What's not finished that I have to come back?
So, well, I've been praying about this because she spoke with me last week.
Yes, I did. I'm going to sit down now.
Already, I love you. And are you going to help her back?
I'm going to sit there beside Pearl and Gracie.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Praise God. Well, I'm just going to share this with you, but this morning when I began the pre-service, the growing in Him, as I was opening in prayer, I had a word come from the Lord. And the word was that you have a call on your life, and it's not a 50% call, it's not a 75% call, and it's not a 90% call, it's a 100% call. And the rest of the word was that we can't check out early because we have to fulfill our call. And God has a call on each person's life. The scripture says that He formed you in your mother's womb, knit you together. Very precise, very accurate. And He has a plan. The scripture says in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, and I have for you a future and a hope. And my answer to you, that because I believe in long life, I believe in living long and living strong, I believe that as believers, we not only have the blessing of living long and strong, but we have the obligation of living long and strong. Before I continue that, I'm going to share this because this was revelation to me. When I first started hearing about why you live long, why do we have to live past 80? Why? Like, ask 80-year-olds. They're thinking, why? Why do I have to live past this? Well, yeah. That's because your mind is renewed. But a lot of people think that when they reach their 70s and 80s, it's good enough, right? But here's the thing, and this is what kind of changed my, you know, I wanted the other before, but this is what changed my heart. When Abraham Lincoln, I believe it was Abraham Lincoln, when he was president and he passed certain laws and he, you know, led the government the way he did, after he was assassinated, he no longer had a voice. Right? When you're dead, you no longer have a voice. You may have people quoting you, but then you may have people misquoting you, and you can't correct it. People can misquote you, and if you're alive, you can say, no, that's not what I said. If you're alive, you can say, no, that's not even what I meant. Right? So when you check out early, before your plan is at 100%, you can't influence those that come behind you. And we, at this church, John's preaching, we have our world to influence. You have a sphere of influence. And you already talked to me about things that God's put on your heart. And that is an area of influence that you have that nobody else has. You each have a sphere of influence that you have that nobody else has. And I'm convinced that you are here for such a time as this, and your time is not up. Mark needs you, Roman needs you, this community needs you, and people need to hear that heaven is for real. Heaven is for real. And Robin, it's not a dream. And one of the scriptures that came to my heart when I was just praying about this, because, I mean, it's kind of getting put on the spot when somebody says, this is what I saw, tell me what it means, why? You're kind of put on the spot a little bit, right? Suck it up, she says. I love Robin. Robin has been such a blessing to our family. You have no idea how you've impacted us and blessed us. And so one of the things that came, first of all, when she was talking about the cloud, I was thinking, you know, she said, you're just kind of floating.
I'm just sitting here, but I'm glad that Robin asked Julia to answer these questions.
But one of the things she said about floating in this, well, the scripture says that when the glory of God descended into the temple, this is in the Old Testament, it came in the form of a cloud, and it was so thick, so tangible, that the priests couldn't stand by reason of the cloud. They could not stand because of that tangible, thick presence. And it's the love of God. I said to Robin, the love of God is actually a substance. It's not the love of God. Smile at your neighbor. It's a tangible presence. It's something you experience, right? And then the other scripture, I mean, there's so many. But this is a scripture, I believe, that I got to get there. Because sometimes I want to start middle of the chapter, and then I start at the beginning, and I think, oh, I should read that too. But I'm going to start it. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, and the reason I want to start earlier is because it says for this cause, and sometimes I like people to know what, well, what's the cause, right? So you want to read ahead, but I'm going to start here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, Robin, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may continue to dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in that love, that tangible love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes our knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I believe that's why you're here. Because you have an experience that, how many of us can say we had? Okay, we have one other person. And for you to experience that love, to be a part of this
eternal being and it flowing through this eternal being is in it's so hard to describe.
Because we're in him and he's in us, and where do you draw the line?
That's right.
Right? Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yes.
And so she touched on, and I'm gonna
No,
she touched on, she said, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're living. So she said she had a miserable excuse for a childhood.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay,
Robin,
you take over then.
What we love about people here is, even myself, I don't love myself, I don't mean that, but we are here who we are.
Yeah.
And Robin's, I think the coolest thing, when she phoned me, or I phoned her actually, and she started to talk to me about heaven. I've known three or four people that went to heaven, and they all said the exact same thing about love. Some seen flowers, some seen birds, some seen, but it was love that they couldn't, not one of them wanted to come back. And she said, why? And I said, well, because of Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus made a way for us to get to heaven. Because Robin's life, I'm not here to tell her life, but she had a terrible, like, your mom really didn't raise you, did she? She was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And her coach, anyways, she had a terrible life. Yeah, and her grandma looked after her, and then your gym coach looked after you. And for you to be in a place, anybody, where everything's perfect. That's what she said to me. And I was weeping because I was working. I was just weeping because that's what God wants us to have, is heaven here on earth.
Amen.
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
And God just wants to be so real with us. And I was just weeping as I was driving down the road when she was talking to me about heaven. And she said, I didn't want to come back. Why did I have to come back to this stupid... I won't say everything she says. But you know what? I love you being you. You know what? Because it's amazing. Heaven's real. And I said, because you give your heart to Jesus. And she said, yeah, I know I did, but I didn't really think heaven was real. I knew that you're just, when you're dead and but it's not. It's there's more life there than ever. And it was just amazing. Yeah. And the Bible's true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
It's all true.
Yeah.
And I know for absolute 100% for a fact, sure, this wasn't a vision, this wasn't a dream. It's as real as you're sitting over there.
And I mean, the doctor said. Go ahead.
I just want to tell you, I know about liquid cup.
Pardon?
I understand the term liquid cup.
Oh, yeah, you float around, you can almost grab it, but you're part of it, so you can't actually.
And when I had my experience with God,
yeah,
because that's what it was, I couldn't wait for people to ask me, where do you live? And I wanted to say, it's in Him.
Right. In Him.
And I didn't want to share it with anybody. I felt like this was the thing that was so special. I thought, when I move out of it, I can move out of it, but I can't. I've never been able to move outside of that love. I felt maybe in my head that I wasn't there anymore, but I've never been able to move outside of that love. Because it's in Him we live and move.
Yes. The light is better.
I'm going to the light. I know where I'm going.
The light is better.
Amen. Amen. But perspective changes and everything.
Right.
Things like that.
And that's, I mean, you know, I'm not even going to pretend that I know what they were, because I have no idea, and God has not revealed it to me. But I will say this, that when Jesus is living on the inside of you, and He's been received by you as Lord, as Savior, you can't mess it up.
Do you know my dad? Mm-hmm. My dad, we only got 10 minutes left, so we might as well just talk about this. My dad, before my dad passed away, there was a time that my mom wouldn't let him go.
Mm-hmm. I think this was when he had the heart attack.
And he was dying, and the doctor said he wouldn't live. And I remember my dad telling me this, that now they weren't like this big, but he didn't really say. He just said two angels came in, mm-hmm, into the room with him, mm-hmm, and he was in the area of, I don't know. I'm just listening to what my dad said. Mm-hmm. And he was in between, because he was seen in the realm of the spirit. Mm-hmm. He seen these angels that came to get him, and they said, "We come to get you, to take you, mm-hmm, to Jesus." Because they talked to him. And my mom came in the room at the same time, or she was there. And he said, in between this, he heard my mom yelling, "You're not leaving here. Because we made a deal that we're going to, if we go, we're going to go together. And you're not, and I'm not leaving yet. And so you're not leaving." And he said, the angels left. And he stayed. And that was like 14 years God give him. And them angels were there. So, I mean, I'm not... Who's to say what an angel? There's lots of different kinds of angels, and there's principalities and powers of darkness, and there's ministers of light. God, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about how God gives ministering angels to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So each one of us has angels there to that you don't see there to help you and to look for you. Read.
You got
10.
Listen, John, this little thing didn't say that to me. And I was told that it was trying to tell me something.
Right. Right.
And Mark yells out, "I'm seeing fairies!" Because he was right beside me, and I kind of whispered because I could hardly read.
Yeah.
And then I was watching it, and I looked down for a second, and then they were gone.
Yeah.
As soon as he had hollered it out, "Mom, seeing fairies!"
Yeah.
And that was it, gone. And then activity, activity.
Yeah. The Bible says here, and I'm just reading, so I read a scripture. It says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation?" And I'm not here to explain anything other than I know heaven is real, and you don't want to miss heaven.
No.
Amen.
Amen to that, John.
You don't want to miss heaven. And Jesus says, "All that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the Bible says there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. The Bible says, "I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody will open the door and let me in, I will come in with him." Jesus said that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved." And when you're born into this world, you're born into sin. And because of that sin of the world, we're destined for hell. But thank God, there's a Savior that came.
Amen.
And he's standing at your door today, knocking. And if you haven't let Jesus into your heart, I would say, do it.
Now. Do it now.
Yeah.
Because in death, the Bible says the Christian, I'm just talking because the Bible, I'm talking about with the Bible. The Bible says when a person dies, you go from life to life. You don't, like the Christian doesn't have to be afraid of death. Because you're here in life and you end up in life. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done.
Right.
But you have to receive it. And that's what I just urge everybody today. Like every one of us need to fulfill our mandate. And I believe the same thing. Well, she made a huge impact in Grace. She's helped us with Grace since Grace was a little girl. Just like a mom. Took her to Peterborough twice a week for us. We'd take her. That what you've done in Grace, you can do in many, many people. She certainly did. Anyways, I'm going to say a prayer. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, the Bible says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you got to believe, and you got to call, and you don't ever have to be afraid of death again, ever. So you just say this with me, and you know today that wherever you are in life, regardless of it, when you pass from this life to the next, you're going to heaven. Just say, "Jesus, I know that God sent you to die on the cross for me. You paid for my sin by taking those stripes for my healing and shedding your blood to cover my sin. I'm asking you to come into my life. Be my Savior. And fill me. And make me used to me and used to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I just want to thank everyone for being here today. You know, I thought it was so amazing just to hear. I every time I hear about heaven, it's just amazing, because every one of us one day is going to end up there, and it's not a bad thing, it's an amazing thing. But my job as a pastor, God wants you to have heaven here on earth. And that's why he's given us the Word of God. So we could just, you know, I was going to, this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about what Mark was talking about last week, but in a different way. Because in life, things do happen to us. Every one of us goes through things that we don't understand why. But we need to stick with God. And he'll bring you through.
Amen.
Anyways, we love you guys. I want to just say something, just because you guys are our family. Julie, are you going to come here? She's leaving me again. I think everybody probably knows this, but I just wanted to let you know, because everybody seems to know, and my wife doesn't know what to do or say, but my wife's pregnant, and
for those of you who thought I was gaining weight, I am. And I've got about 23 more weeks to go, so.
I was a big shock to me. I wasn't sure how that all happened, but I said to her, you're not supposed to get pregnant when we're 50. 48. Anyways. But now after the last four months, I've sort of got it, and I'm now excited about it. I'll be 70 years old taking my son to hockey or my daughter. But I just figured we'd just tell you, because Julie's been wearing bigger clothes and bigger clothes, and so I just thought I'd just tell you. So there you go. Be fruitful and multiply. I'm just gonna pray over the offering. So I wasn't sad, but I wasn't real happy at first, just because I sort of enjoyed my last 5 years of my life, and my wife, we've been able to go out and do stuff together, and
this is really going to affect John's life. He's going to be so tied down. And, you know, when you have a baby, you have to always think, that, but what do I do with the baby? Right? So this is really going to affect John in a bigger and newer way that he just has never had to deal with before.
It's not that. I just actually enjoyed hanging out with my wife. My wife's become my friend the last 5 or 6 years. I've always loved her, but we just hang out together. And anyways, I'm excited now. So, Father, I just ask you to bless the giver. Father, we just thank you, Father, that you give us a seed to sow anyways. And Father, I give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what else is neat? That Julie's going to have babies with her babies.